The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It is me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. It is, let's see, August 9th, and if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. That's August 9th, 2022. For the podcasters, I do keep a record of the of all the shows, try and do time stamps and the various things we talk about, at and then release them every now and then. Every now and then, it takes a bit of work. And I have everything in Excel, and then I transfer it to a file, then I have to convert it to HTML, then I have to go clean up the code. So I do it every few months. I do that. Good thing that I know how to do Excel stuff. You know, I used to teach that. One of my jobs actually was teaching Excel and Word and PowerPoint and other programs. I really enjoyed it too. In fact, I talk to people about this every now and then. I actually got hired at a company once in San Diego. Get this. This is for real. I was asking God to, you know, give me a good job, and so I needed a job, and I had a wife and, you know, babies and all that stuff, and I couldn't get a job. And then after a couple of months, this, you know, it happens, I get a call, and I go to a place. Hewlett Packard is a company at Hewlett Packard, and anyway, I ended up getting hired. Get this, for a job that didn't exist. This is for real, and I'm sitting there at this job. They wanted someone who could teach Office because Office is pretty deep in a lot of areas. You know, I can teach all kinds of stuff in it, and they said, yeah, you know, they hire you and the whole bit, and they hired me. And 3 or 4 days into the job, I'm like, why am I even here? There's no one needs me. There's nothing. And I talked to the boss, and I said, you know, something's up. I said, why'd you guys hire me? And he said, we don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? And he says, we don't need you. I go, well, then why'd you hire me? He goes, I don't know, really. So it didn't make any sense. And so I knew that they're going to let me go, and so I said, "Hey, look," I said to my boss, and he was a biker. He knew Hell's Angels. I mean, he looked the part, okay. And I said, "Look, I got a wife, kids. I need a job. And so, how about would you let me transfer over sideways to the desk side tech? That's, you know, fixing computers, networks, things like that." And he said, "Okay, I'll let you do it. I'll give you a trial." And I had nothing, no experience in this. And I found out that the reason they hired me was because I sounded halfway intelligent. They were tired of interviewing people. I mean, it was just bad from the beginning. And so anyway, I moved over to desk side tech, and I just started following the tech guys around. I had this big 3-inch, 3-ring binder, a notebook of all kinds of information that I was collecting and learning how to do stuff. And I'd carry this thing with me everywhere. You know, I didn't care what people thought. I just carried it, and that was my notes. And so get this. This is how God works, all right? So I'm only supposed to be there for a little while. And, you know, I started doing pretty well. I mean, it's computer stuff. I like computers, you know. And I started figuring things out. And then one thing led to another. And next thing you know, I set the record in the company for how many tickets were closed in a month period. That means you go out to a site on campus, you know, someone's computer isn't working, whatever it is, and you got to get them working. The hard drive crashes, they can't get their network working, whatever. I set the record, and so then I'll get this. This is for real. So the boss came to me after a year and a half, 2 years. And he said, "Hey, look, we have an opening for a premium position." And I said, "They call them preemies." And I said, "Well, okay." And I knew what it was. It was a job. This is how God works. I'm going to tell you this. It was a job, and I worked with the financial department, and I would be a dedicated computer guy for that department, which means I would move to that part of the building with them and sit in a cubicle next to them. If they had any questions, any problems, any time, I'd be the guy that they go to, and I would fix it. And so I said, oh, okay, I got a nice raise. I mean, nice raise, okay, for what I was doing. This was back in the 90s, early 90s. I'm making like over $20 an hour at this point. And so I sat there, and it took me a month or two to get acclimated with this group, and I got all their computers working so well that I was bored. I had nothing to do for days and days at a time. It turned out that once a month they would have month-end closing, and they needed me to be there, and so I would be there to take care of everything, okay? And then I got that so working so well that, I only worked with them. I sat with them, but I only worked with them 5 hours a month total with all the problems. So there's not much to do. And that's what they liked. Everything was working so smoothly. So what I did was I started working on CARM. I just started writing articles in the downtime. And so for 2 years, I was paid to basically write articles for CARM. And there was nothing else to do. And my boss found out. And he said, you know, you're not supposed to be doing that kind of thing. I said, I know, but what am I going to do? I'm bored. There's nothing to do. I mean, I get these guys are working great. You know, I solved a lot of their problems, rescued a lot of them at critical times. They had high praise for me. And I said, I just sit here. And he says, well, next time I come up here, I'm going to call you before I come up here. And I got the message, you know, because he understood. What am I going to do? I'm just sitting there. So I just, you know, worked on stuff for another couple of years. Isn't that good, how God works? And because of all that, I learned computers, I learned networking, I learned all kinds of things, and I use it all the time for ministry. Praise God. He was prepping. Hey, not a big deal. Just a short kind of story there. Let's get to Kevin from Canada. Kevin, welcome. You're on the air.
Good day there, Matt. How's it going?
It's going, man. Yeah, just reminiscing about old computer days, you know, how God provided.
Yeah. We're trying to forget about those old computers.
Well, you know, I can build them from the ground up. I can do all kinds of things, and which I did this weekend. It's a lot of fun for me. But anyway, Benny, what do you got, buddy?
Well, I thought maybe I'd ask you whether, you know, maybe you could give sort of a nuanced, thoughtful approach to this, is being in Canada, definitely the way things are here politically is a much bigger mess than even what the U.S. is in right now. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be a balance between being involved with politics or being involved with what's going on and the evil that's going about in that mm-hmm. direction.
Yeah.
And also in regards to us being about the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
and sort of maybe some advice or how or where that line is to be walked between it all.
Well, I don't like to find that line and then try and walk on the other side. I like to push the line.
Okay.
I want to push it. I want that line of truth and the truth of Christ, I want it to be pushed into the secular realm as much as possible. And so that's my philosophy. I believe in standing up against the gates of hell, and assaulting them. Now, that's not to be, you know, mean in lawsuits and throw rocks at people, of course, but the idea is that I believe in the supremacy of Christ, the strength of Christ, the truth of the gospel message, and that's just how it goes, and we act accordingly. And I think that if Christians were to adopt that and actually believe it, then they should run for politics. They should run for offices in school boards. They should be honest workers. Do whatever they can. And in the churches, when they see issues, they should be involved with them and help move things forward. And so as far as politics go, you know, you guys should do up there is Christians should get into office. Christians should get in there and get that that socialist dictator out of office, because he's horrible. So, you know, start from the ground up.
That's
Christians.
That's a nice one.
Well, he is. He's a dictator.
evil would be a better way to call it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, by the way, did you hear what happened with Trump today? The raid on his Mar-a-Lago home? The FBI went after him.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
I pay a little attention, but I don't get involved with U.S. politics, partially because I don't have much to do with it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying it's an example.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just an example of evil in the world. They just don't want Trump to run. And they're doing whatever they can to defame him. So, you know, we have in our country, in your country, and in so many countries all over the world, there are political leaders that are ungodly. And this is just moving us downhill towards the abyss. You know, Christians need to stand up. I believe, in my opinion, that the reason it's all happening is because Christians aren't doing their job. That's my opinion. So,
I think that that's part of it. I think you know maybe summing up what you're saying is that what I hear you saying is that you know we should be taking the gospel to the you know not dealing with you know the corruption in terms of how perhaps we could say the political right is dealing with the issue, but bringing the gospel to it rather than a political opinion or a political ideal.
Well, they go hand in hand. We as Christians are redeemed by the blood of God in flesh, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross and rose from the dead. And therefore, we are in his kingdom. Now, here's something a lot of people don't understand. So let me teach you a little theology here for 30 seconds to a minute. People are waiting for the rapture and then the thousand-year reign of Christ. So they're waiting to get out of here. However, Jesus says in Matthew 12, 22 through 32, he said that Satan was already bound. Matthew 12, 22 through 32. In Luke 17 and Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be the days coming Son of Man. And it says, the ones, and two men will be in the field, one is taken, one is left, and the ones who were taken were the wicked. And this is not my opinion. You read the context, it's clear. And I show this to people all the time. When you go to Matthew 13, it talks about, Jesus talks about the parable of the wheat and the tares. Now, I'm getting to a point here. The wheat and the wheat are the Christians, the tares are the unbelievers. And he says, allow both to grow together until the harvest. And the time of the harvest, I'll say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles. So at the time of the harvest, the first ones gathered are the wicked. Now, the reason I bring this up is because of this. This is the context now. So Jesus interprets that parable, and he says, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. Now, get this. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. That's Matthew 13, 40, and 41. This means the wicked are in the kingdom of God. Not that they believe in the kingdom, but they're under the lordship of Christ, and they're going to be removed out of the kingdom. This is reversed of what a lot of churches teach. They teach, no, we're in the kingdom of the evil one. We're going to be taken out of it. Then there's going to be this utopia of 1,000 years. But that's not what Jesus is teaching. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is simple. We're in the kingdom of God. He's our Lord. We have the right, as Christians right now, to move forward in the world in every direction, assail those gates of hell, and we will progress. Because it's the kingdom of God now, and he's our Lord. We'll be right back after these messages, folks. Please stay tuned. We'll be back with Kevin from Canada. All right, be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Why don't we get back on the air with Kevin from Canada. All right, Kevin, welcome. You're back on the air.
Yeah, thanks. No, I think that what you just said there, Matt, was the exact reason why I'm a pan-millennialist.
Okay, good. Good for you, man. Good for you. It'll all pan out. That's right. It will. Yep.
It will. You know, it'll happen. We don't know all the. We know the easiest way to put it is we know the pieces, how they all fit together.
Mm-hmm.
That we'll find out.
Yeah, we will.
You know, simple as that. And, but I agree with what you're saying. I think it's a very important principle. And
it is.
You know, it's maybe that line of how we know how to take the gospel to the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we need to be doing. Yeah. You know, Christians don't understand. Come on, you know, the gates of hell don't attack us. Gates are something that are defensive. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That just gives us permission right there for all Christians to have the attitude of converting the world. And that means going out into all areas. And that means politics, it means schools, it means everything, and geology, science, medicine. You go in. It doesn't mean that you brainwash people, you force them to do such and such. No, it means go in and be light among the darkness and be salt in the earth and bring in the kingdom of, well, not bring it in, that's post-millennialism, but manifest the truth of who Christ is to a dying world. We have this ability, we have this authority, we have this calling. Jesus says, go out and make disciples of all nations. And, you know, you talk about all people groups. It doesn't mean just your neighbor on a Sunday morning. This is simple stuff. Now, the problem with it is that if you preach it, that's going to make people uncomfortable. You mean go door to door? Maybe. You mean get to politics? Maybe. You mean whatever it might be, you know, being nice to your neighbor? Yeah. It could be whatever it is. God works it, filters it down to different people at different levels, at different situations. But it's scary, and it means to trust in God beyond our ability to understand. And that's what we've got to do. That's what we should be doing.
Well, I agree with you totally there, Matt. You know, it's very much the same. You know, the difference being is, you know, we're seeing this huge divide between Canada and the U.S. right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can say safely in the U.S., you have a right, political right, and you have a political left.
Right? Yeah.
In Canada, I can't hardly say that.
It's all one party,
we
right?
We have a left and we have a little bit left. You know, not so far left, a little farther left, and a little farther mm-hmm. left. That's yeah. really where it is. And,
well, then,
and,
the Christians need to get organized. They need to start... Sorry, I interrupted you because I was impatient. Not with you, but because this situation gets me.
Oh, no.
So go ahead. Go ahead. I got to be patient here. It just gets me.
I'm with you. It gets me too. But, you know, I think here in Canada we've gone, you know, so far maybe we've been complacent as the church for way too long.
Yes.
And... You know, even the church has become so far off to the left
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I know the big thing with, you know, churches with women pastors, and that's a good indication, mm-hmm. right, of the state of
yeah.
the church. I agree
yeah.
with you totally on that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how many churches, you know, here in our city, you know, of a million people are there that would agree with that simple place, and I would say, I don't know.
That women are not to be pastors and elders,
you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're going, most of the mainstream, all, you know, all the Baptist churches in the area are pretty well okay with that.
Yeah, it's, they're unbiblical.
Women pastors.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You know, so it's a very small number. It's a short number.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a tough thing, you know, in terms of, you know, people in politics that I would say are at least godly people. You know, we're probably, I've got more fingers. You
yeah.
know, and...
Yeah, I know. It's bad.
I think even it's gone so far here in Canada, I just wonder whether it's over the fall.
Well, here's the thing.
Upstream is gone.
God has his ways of being able to deliver people. He's not dumb. He's capable. And just because it might be appear to be a lost cause in your country and becoming that in our country, it doesn't mean God can't raise up people, hasn't already been raising up people to do incredible and mighty things. And if Christians knew this and Christians believed it and Christians would get off their lazy rears and start doing what's necessary. I believe that there needs to be a national organization of religious leaders in America, and that it's opened up to people supporting it financially, so that they can institute lawsuits against people and organize groups for petitioning, for not for rioting, but for public gatherings and with holding up signs. And I think that we should do such things as peacefully as possible. Like, say, for example, the first day of, let's pick September or October, you know, whatever. October 1st, on a Monday, the first Monday of October, everybody with a last name that starts with an A goes to the Capitol. Or if they're not too close to the Capitol in their state, goes to an alternate designated area with signs. You know, we want our government back. We want our culture back. We want this back. And then the next day, people's names will start with a B. And we start doing this all over the country. The organization means something. The left, these wackos, who the leftists and the commies, the Antifa, they're organized. The homosexuals, they are organized. And so they are able to influence. The Christians don't want to get organized. They don't want to be responsible in their Christianity. And we need to.
Well, it's that and a combination of that. I think majority of the church do not even understand the foundation of what they're standing on.
No.
You know, like in terms of Canada and our political prisoners, you know, which we have and have had, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much of it actually gets out of the country, but for the individuals that have been locked up in jail, you know, including pastors and other people.
Are there pastors in jail in your country?
Not at present, but up on charges.
And what are the charges based on? What are the charges?
On bail.
Like, as in, they had a church service? That kind of thing?
No, the way the government's come around, it basically is based off of health orders.
Oh.
So the way
the
government's done
it
in our province here is they've used court orders, and then by making, basically, like they told our pastor, well, you're not allowed to leave your church until...
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, we got to go, Betty. There's a break. Sorry about that. But, yeah, call back again. We need to talk about this. Okay, buddy? Hey, we got to go. Hey, folks, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We lost that person about women being silent in the church. Call back. We can talk about that. Let's get to Nate from North Carolina. Nate, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing all right.
Yeah.
Hanging in there.
I've listened to you every day for the last 2 years, I guess. And the issue has come up to me in my church. We have three elders, two pastors, and two evangelists in our pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're women.
Okay.
I can't get them to understand what the word Titus means.
That's because they're full of pride.
They're not going to sit down. They're doing everything to try to get me out of there.
They're prideful. They have pride because they do not want to humble themselves before God's word and obey God's word. Therefore, they are prideful, and they are not going to listen. And you need to go to the congregation, get others, get some men in there who know what the truth is, and you approach them. And they need to be rebuked politely and lovingly with respect. And I would be glad to coach any of your men. You get them together in a group. We'll have a phone call. Put me on speaker. We'll go through and talk. We'll talk about what you guys can do and how you ought to do what's right before the congregation, before God.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
I'm serious.
That's definitely good. I got your website.
I'm sorry?
I'll just email you.
Hey, you email me at info@carm.org, and I would be glad to coach you over the air, over the phone. And you're,
and they
you're,
also take up where they
what?
He said the last name.
Oh, you're breaking up.
Upon all flesh and men.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up. Okay, say it again. I want to hear.
That he was, I got the radio down.
It's okay.
He was put in the last days. He poured out his flesh upon all men. Men with prophesy, young men see vision, all that.
I can't understand
they take
you.
They're out of context.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
Can you?
Okay.
Go
ahead.
They take the scripture where Jesus said in the word that in the last days that he pour out his spirit upon all flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, men receive vision, old men, and young men prophesy.
Yeah.
They take that as saying. Women can preach. But God gave man dominion, even from the Garden of Eden.
Yeah. Well, what they're doing is they take that verse out of context, because what it's talking about there is the fulfillment of the arrival of the Holy Spirit, which is prophesied as being poured. And it's the movement that is that God has upon the church. And the arrival of the Holy Spirit, the pouring of the Holy Spirit, is manifested in the charismatic gifts. This is what the context is. Also in Acts 10, 44 through 48, people are speaking in tongues and the whole bit because the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon them, the Gentiles as well as the Jews. So there was this movement of the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm a Calvinist and I believe this stuff, okay? So it's there. But it has nothing to do with women pastors and elders, because Paul the Apostle says in 1 Timothy 3:15, he's giving instructions on how to behave in the household of God, the church. But the previous chapter, he says women are not to be pastors and elders, not to be in positions of authority over men, because Adam was first created. So these women who misuse that verse and take that verse out of context to exalt themselves and to hold themselves in a place of power and authority are prideful, in rebellion against God. They need to be rebuked. Flat out.
I need
to
help.
Okay. I would be glad to help you. If you can get men in your church, and if there's women who agree with their husbands, and even if not married, but you know, then they get together and you start praying. Because what you need to do is prepare to confront the false teaching and the false positions that these women are having. And we could talk about what to do. The first thing you got to do is gather people together, and you got to be in prayer. I'd be glad to coach you on the truth of all of this stuff. And then what I can do is help you prepare a document, a writing to give to them that you also give, well, them first. Once they refuse it, then you go to the church, you go to the body of Christ, and you show this. And I would be glad any time you put this information on, you know, after the female pastors reject the truth of God's word, then you go to the congregation to even have a meeting in a congregation where I'll come online on the phones. We can have a meeting visually. They can fire questions. We can go at it, and we can talk about what it means to follow the word of God. I will help you. I will help you.
I believe in this. No, I do too. I believe the whole word of God.
It's the word of God.
Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
So I'm serious, brother. And Nate, you know what your name comes from, and what it means in Hebrew? Nathan?
Gift of God. Nathaniel.
It means, yeah, to give. It comes from Nathan, to give. And so I think it's interesting your name's, you know, to give. And so it means other-centered, and so this is a good thing. And plus, you recognize this is a serious issue. Now, let me ask you, are you married by any chance?
I'm divorced. I've been divorced 4 years. I live by myself. I live according to the word, and I'm one of the ministers. They moved me down. Now, I'm ordained, but they moved me from elder to minister.
Okay, well, we got to talk.
Those are jealous.
Because, look, the sword cuts both ways. And so with the men, we've got to make sure that you're qualified to even be in that position, having been divorced, because there are issues. And so you may not be qualified to be a minister. You may be. It just depends on what the issues and circumstances are.
Well, I'm not married no more, and I don't, you know, I live according to the word. I don't do things according to the flesh.
Yeah, it has to do with some other stuff. We can talk about that another time. But okay. We need to understand that the pulpit needs to be revered. The pulpit needs to be revered and uplifted. And so when I get to preach, which isn't very often because I'm not a pastor anymore, but when I do get the privilege of preaching, I love to preach, but I also don't like
it. And people be leaving out while you preach because they can't stand it.
Oh, that happens. Yeah. But the thing is, I take it so seriously that in order to get to that place of the pulpit, just physically walk up, I have to have prayed beforehand, confessed my sins when they're worshiping before the sermon. I'm talking to my Lord. I'm asking for cleansing because I'm going to go preach the word of God to his people. I take it very, very seriously. And this is what needs to happen. The people who hear the word of God need to know that the preaching of that word of God is dead serious and it's out of the word of God. If they're going to have women pastors and elders doing that in contradiction of the scriptures, you can't trust what they say. And they couldn't exegete their way out of a wet paper bag. I thought you'd tell me what they said.
That's true. That's true. And it's everywhere. I mean, if I leave here, it's still everywhere.
It is everywhere. It's part of the apostasy. It's part of the apostasy. That's right. And I'm going to offer this one more time. I know there's I know there's people out there in the Carolinas and Georgia and Virginia and all that stuff. I'm here in Idaho. No, you know, that's on the West Coast area. I will be glad to fly out there and have a teaching time, debate time with anybody out there about this issue. I've been offering this for 17 years of radio. I've not had a single person take me up on it. In 17 years, I will debate it and teach it. Yeah, they won't because they know what the Bible says, and they know what the Bible says, and they refuse what the Bible says. I'd be glad to come out there and teach on this and hold a seminar on it with love and with, you know, compassion. But men need to get up.
We need to get back to our first love, you know.
Jesus, that's right.
Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Yeah, and but the men got to stand up. The men have got to do this. I don't know.
Nobody there but the bishop and myself. The rest of them women.
Yeah, well, the men aren't doing their jobs. The men, come on, men, got to get up. Adam and Eve in the garden. She sinned first. They're both hiding, and the pre-incarnate Jesus came and said to the man, "Where are you?" It's the men's responsibility first, and so this is why I talk like that. I want men to be men. You know?
All right, then. Thanks. I'm going to be working on that, too.
All right. You email me, and if I don't respond, you call me up in a few days, whatever it is. Hey, I'm the guy, blah, blah. And I'll go, yeah, okay, gotcha. All right?
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, man.
All right, man. God bless.
Bye-bye.
It's a serious issue. I should teach on why it's a serious issue. I should do a show on it or a video on it or something. Why it's so stinking serious. And it is serious. Let's get to Anonymous from North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air. Hello? You're on the air.
Hello, I'm here.
Okay, we got a break coming up pretty quickly, but what do you got? Hello?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
With what you're talking about first, there's the break.
Can you hold on, please? I apologize, but can you hold on? Because we got the break right there. I got to go. We'll get right back to you after the message. Hey, folks, please stay tuned. Three open lines, 877-207-2276. Oh, we'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's see, we've got, hope I get the right one back here. Anonymous from North Carolina, you're back on the air.
Yes, so with the last caller, you were just referencing 1 Timothy 2:12, and I was wondering in regards to that scripture, how does that apply, or does it apply to female worship leaders?
The context of 1 Timothy 2:12 is to teach or exercise authority over a man. And so the context here is a leadership position of teaching in the issue of doctrine and positional authority. They're not to be in that place. If a woman is in a worship team and she leads the group, that's okay, as long as she's not in spiritual authority over any of the men that might be in that group. It's just not her place. So other than that, no problem.
Okay. That's what I thought, but I wanted I wanted clarification of that. So as long as she's not exercising authority over men, she can certainly be the main worship leader. Mm-hmm. She can lead worship. She can, from beginning to end, and it's no problem.
Yeah. Now, there's a form of authority that goes into that position, but it's not the same kind of authority that deals with the issue of in the church behavior, eldership, pastoring, teaching. Because that's what he says, to not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority. So they are tied together. But a woman, you know, if I was, I have no musical talent, trust me, I got nothing. And so if I was in a worship band, and knowing what I know, and I play a little guitar, but let's say, hey, we want you to play a guitar, could you play it this way and do it that way? I'd say, sure, you know, I'll do it that way, and as long as they don't have to sing, because I'll kill people with my bad voice. And so, no problem. If she says, no, this is a better chord, and she showed me, oh, great. Hey, she's teaching me. But it's not an issue of ecclesiastical authority that's going on. So, no problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome so much. Well, God bless. All right. Let's get to Courtney from Ohio. Hey, Courtney, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, okay, so I have a question piggybacking the guy that was asking about women teaching and that. So in the church that we visited, and forgive me for digressing, but when we were visiting there and they were having, like, the altar call at the end, they would never, ever have at the altar praying for other women. And I thought that was very, like, I was... never go up for prayer because it was very
I didn't quite understand they would I missed one word. They never had blah blah blank up for praying.
They never had women up praying for other women. It was only men. So never ever go up for prayer. So I think that's intimate to go up in a man's prayer. You know, I would go up to a woman. You know, so I wanted to know if that, does that make sense that I feel that way? I think that, is it okay for women to be up there praying? Because I would never go up. I'm a married woman. I would never do so. So that would be okay then.
I would have no problem that if I were a pastor and we had a prayer time, I think just from what you said, I go, that's a good idea. Make sure we have women up there praying and men up there praying. And you go up to the one that you feel, you know, more comfortable with and go for it. In fact, I think in the church, there needs to be women who are specially raised and trained in order to deal with, I want to be careful, kids in the car kind of thing. The intimacy issues that, et cetera.
Yeah.
And because this is, I mean, it's important, and, you know, for people who've had abortions and healing. You need women who can do this. You need women out there.
Women to pray for other women.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not a patriarchal system.
Okay, so that's system. What I was asking
about that.
Yeah. Okay. Because it seems like they were just taking that part of the Bible a little too far. I was like, I know this may sound silly, but I picture that the movie It's a Wonderful Life, you know, where she's like got her head under George Bailey and he's smelling her hair and he's like, oh, I would never be like put that close to a man. So,
right.
You know what I mean? I was like, I don't think that shouldn't, that needs that far that you won't even allow women to pray.
Yeah, that's not right.
For other women.
No, okay. I would be encouraging women to do things. I would want to have meetings with women, in, you know, not alone, of course, but I mean, okay, how can we use you in the church? How can we uphold you in the church? There are women who have certain needs, and teach me. You know, I would say, look, I'm a guy. I'm intellectual. So teach me the women's stuff that I need to know about. I can talk and preach about and teach on. And I had women teach me this stuff. Oh, you know, you guys don't realize, you know, when you go through the prayer, we don't want to talk to a guy. You don't? Oh, okay. You know, it'd be stuff like that.
Okay, so that leads me to my next question.
Sure.
So you just said to teach me. So what about, is it okay, I mean, what about women teaching outside of churches? Because I know, like,
man, that's more
difficult.
I mean,
that's kind of like a Joyce Meyer.
Yeah, she's a heretic. Yeah, she's a heretic.
Well, so is that also not good, even if it's outside of a church, for women to be teaching? Like, where does that work?
Yeah, she teaches theology to men. She expounds on scripture. She's in a teaching authority position, and she's church appointed.
Okay.
And so she's out of line. And plus, she's a heretic. She teaches horrible stuff. She does.
So even though it's not in a church building, that still applies if they're teaching theology. That works.
Well, this gets to be difficult, because what if you had a woman teaching? Okay, this is stereotypical. You'll get mad at me. A course and thing on how to cook. Hey, I'd go. Okay. What about a course on Bible study with other women? Well, I'd like to listen because I want, see, it's not me when I check them out and make sure they're okay, because that's part of it, but I believe in lending an ear in there to hear, to learn things I would not know from a woman's perspective. And so if they're teaching that's fine. But if they're in a seminar where they're teaching biblical theology and expounding the same way they would in a pulpit, and they're doing it, and men are there, then it's a problem. If they can do it without men there, that's fine. Now, this may sound chauvinistic and inconvenient, but there's a reason for this stuff. Men are the ones who are called to be the spiritual heads, not the female. That's just how it is. I tell men, when I do marriage counseling, I tell them, I don't care, guys. I don't care if you don't like it. This is your responsibility. You can complain. This is what you got to do.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. I think men need to step up and
yes,
start being men, is what I think. You know, so I don't have a problem with saying that.
Yeah, I need to teach on this. But you see, the thing is, a lot of women don't realize, I'm just part of the conversation, a lot of women don't realize what they can do to their men. Say, let's say a man, for example, he builds a shelf out in the garage. And let's just say it's not exactly level. Does it need to be level? Not really. So anyway, she comes out and he goes, hey, look, I built this thing, you know, and it's just a little bit off. But it's his workbench. And the first thing she says is, it's not level. The first, women don't realize that, oh, so you're just negative. Okay. And the guy will say, oh, I'm not going to show you stuff anymore. And they don't realize that they have a lot of power. They need to be encouragers. Because men take risks when they lead, and if they fail, it's easy to be behind the lines going, hey, look how bad you messed up. Well, then you get up here and see if you can do any better. And so it's that kind of a thing, but men are supposed to be the leaders. Women don't realize what it means to support their husband. And so they need to learn that position too. Because women, if they support their husband, let me tell you this. Men are very good at doing all kinds of stuff, and they're very good at finding ways to not do anything. And if the women empower them to be lazy, they will excel at being lazy. And if the women browbeat their husbands and don't praise them and are negative towards them, the men will lower themselves to that position. They'll go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of reasons.
The women could also do the opposite, which is encourage them to really rise up.
Yes. And when they mess up, because they're going to, we're people. You know, they need to understand something. Here, I got so much you could talk about with this. Here's the thing. If you listen to a bunch of men talk, you know, I caught a fish last week on the lake. It was 4.5 pounds. And you know some guy's going to go, yeah, man, you know, 5 years ago I caught this 12-pound trout. And you know another guy's might be going, well, yeah, but I caught a whale with 2-pound test out of a kayak in the middle of a storm in a hurricane. We're going to exaggerate. We're going to talk about it. But what if a guy says, look, oh, man, I just totally blew it when I was driving my car and I did this, I did that, and I scraped up the fender. And another guy's going to go, oh, no, that's nothing. Here, let me tell you how bad I messed up. What we do is we measure ourselves by our successes as well as our failures. The reason is because leaders succeed and fail. And to a man, both are equally valuable, and we take them both very seriously. We don't point fingers at another guy for messing up. I've got a friend, one of my favorite stories ever tells is how he didn't listen to his wife and got stuck in a snowbank. And I love the way he tells the story, because he's boasting about his arrogance, and then I blah, 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 and then she was right, and I got stuck, and we're laughing. It's because it's what it means to lead. Women got to understand it's okay for their men to fail. It's because they're trying. Women don't want their men to fail because they're restricted from even trying. And so men become nothing in the church, nothing in society. It's all working together.
That's why there's probably so few of them at church right now.
Okay. That's right. Well, yeah, talk. Hey, we got another caller. Well, can you call back tomorrow? Because we've got somebody's been waiting for a while, and I want to get to them. Her, I think. Okay, call back tomorrow, Courtney, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I will. Okay.
Okay, good. God bless. All right, we only got about a minute and a half for 2 minutes. Yesa? I think that's your name. That's a neat name. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. So what do you got?
Well, that's great. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. So we only have a couple of minutes. What do you got?
So I was calling because I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm trying to understand and grasp the concept of why women can't be pastors. Because biblically, when you look at Timothy and you look at Paul's teaching, it's taken out of context that women can't be pastors. Women
No.
can be pastors.
No, they cannot. No, they cannot. Paul the Apostle.
Okay, I need you to make it clear.
Okay, well, I only have a minute, so I won't be able to do all of it. Paul says, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet, for it was Adam who was first created and then Eve. It's not cultural. Paul is setting up the authority issue as it relates to the created order by God himself. Okay? Because Adam was first created.
I'm listening.
Okay. So let me ask you. Is it okay for a woman to exercise authority over a man? In the church context, because the next chapter he says he's teaching about how to behave in the church. So is it okay for a woman to be in that position then?
When you say exercise authority, mm-hmm. if we're walking in Christ, then we're exercising that authority.
No.
You
just shredded the terminology authority in Christ. This is not talking about that. It's talking about the ecclesiastical authority with the context of elders and pastors. So, because that's what Paul's teaching in 1 Timothy 3. Okay? So, call back tomorrow, and we can go through it slowly, and I'll show you what the Word of God says, not what the failed teachings of men are about this, okay?
Well, it's not the failed teaching of men.
It is failing. It is. They're wrong. Call back tomorrow, Yesa. Call back tomorrow. We're out of time. I want to talk about it. Trust me, I do. Hey, folks. Maybe they'll both call back tomorrow. It'll be interesting. God bless. Have a good evening.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.